We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back. Quarter number four of this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by KeystoneSportsNetwork.com and TailgateWine.com. This is Ask Greg. He's Greg Pickle. I'm Dustin Hockensmith. These are your Penn State football questions submitted through the Keystone Sports app. If you don't have it, you can check out your app store to go get it. It's available on all kinds of mobile devices. The best way, you download it. There's an Ask Greg button. You click the button, fire off your question, and the fine folks at TailgateWine.com will award a bottle of tailgate wine for the best question as determined by Greg Pickle. And while you're there, if you're surfing around TailgateWine.com, awesome, unique gift idea for the Penn State fan in your life. The blue and white wine gift box comes highly recommended. They pair barbecue packages with sauces and rubs with their collections of wines. You can check all that out at tailgatewine.com, where great wine meets great barbecue.
Big weekend for tailgate wine with the Super Bowl. Looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah.
Little Labatt, little tailgate wine, and one heck of a show next Monday.
Greg is at his best when he's hungover. That is a fact, and I can only assume that he is right now. So hungover Greg is going to – maybe that, can we get another button to ask hungover Greg? Can we do that? So these are your questions. We're going to start the newest question, Chad from Lewisburg. I'm sure you're getting peppered with questions on Lamont Wade with his recent announcement to stay. My question relates to what appears to be very clear read between the lines messaging and potentially a veiled threat, as he is deliberate about pointing toward graduation and only playing in 2019. The question then becomes, who do you believe that message was most specifically targeted to?
I don't know. Let's get him on the show and ask him. Let's see if we can get an answer to that question. I mean, I didn't necessarily read it that way. I read it more as, you know, that it looks at his situation and says, I have three semesters until I graduate. So we talked about it earlier this week. So what that means is he has the chance to be in a situation where in you know, this time next year, he can be like one of these guys deciding to grad transfer if, and it's a big if, but if that's the direction he wants to go. And if he doesn't want to go that direction, then he's going to have his degree and be able to stay at Penn State and work toward a second degree. So I don't think that was necessarily targeted at anybody. I think he was just saying that, you know, I think that the best thing for me right now after considering a transfer is to stay here and work toward my degree and work toward trying to get on the field. And I think the end of his statement, which read, sometimes we have to make short-term sacrifices to achieve our long-term goals, and I believe that's what's best for me right now. Obviously, I think he thinks that his career would be going a little bit differently at this point, but he's setting that aside to focus on what the future is. And for him, it could be a starter for the Penn State football program.
And really, like when he's saying that he's only, what do you say, three semesters from graduating,
yeah,
including the spring semester that just began, I don't really take that as a threat as much as a, you know, as I thought about it, I didn't want the idea of moving, starting someplace new, mm-hmm, when I'm this close to getting my degree. And certainly football is part of that, but I didn't take it as a threat. I mean, maybe at the end of the day, you know, Lamont Wade is not quite happy enough to stick around beyond the 2019 season, and he'll have more freedom of movement to do that. And I think that's one of the things here. You know, he was one of the few where, you know, the idea of sitting out a year after you've already played a couple of years, mm-hmm, probably is part of the, you know, pros and cons list that you make. I think just be grateful he's back for 2019 because he can be a valuable part of that safety depth chart.
Absolutely.
Possibly a starter, likely a starter depending on who you ask, and see where things go from there, because it's hard to believe if Lamont Wade is the starting safety and has a nice season and feels like he's living up to expectations and is comfortable, it's hard to believe he wouldn't be back for 2020
Where's he gonna go?
One step at a time.
Right.
But certainly for him, you know, if he graduates and offers and gets a little bit more freedom for himself, then who can blame him for that then too?
Yes, you know what, so be it. If he gets his my opinion is this, like, number one, I don't think it's my right to have an opinion about somebody else deciding to transfer, but if you're going to have one, if a guy gets his degree and wants to move on, I'm just not sure how you could be upset or offended or think anything's wrong with that.
Brian from Pittsburgh asks, and this is, I think we touched on this topic a little bit. If Sean Clifford wins the starting quarterback job in 2019, do you think Ricky Ronnie will have to change the offense in any way because the Penn State offense was most successful?
No.
When Trace McSorley with his legs and Clifford is less mobile. If so, to what extent are they willing to change the dynamic of the offense?
I get a little frustrated with this question because it comes up seemingly. It comes up all the time. It came up when
you know what tipped me
when
off?
Yeah.
You shouting no when I was in the middle of reading.
It came up when Trace McSorley was hurt. Well, how can Penn State change? You can't just change the offense like, you know, oh, I spilled mustard on my shirt. I'm going to go change it. Like, you just can't change an entire offense and the philosophies that you use because, you know, they recruit these guys. They don't all have to be Trace McSorley run up and down the field. They need to be mobile. They don't need to be track stars. And not to say that Trace McSorley was, but it just, you don't change your offense. You recruited all these guys to play in a certain style of offense. Just because you run a spread that you know has RPO functions in it doesn't mean you have to run every single time. Doesn't mean you have to be the fastest guy. You need to make the defense think you're going to do it to get them off key so that way you read what they give you and you take what you get. I mean, that's what Penn State has done, whether it's Tommy Stevens or Sean Clifford. I thought Sean Clifford shown some mobility. There's this consensus that he can't run that I don't understand where that came from. I mean, if you believe Sean Clifford can't run because you haven't seen him do it, then you probably also believe Tommy Stevens can't throw because you've hardly seen him do it. So which is it? Should they change the offense and just run the eye and run because he can't? I mean, no, the offense isn't going to change.
Well, Brian, I don't know if you're in the running for the bottle of wine, but you successfully.
Hey, I don't know because it was a good question.
You got Greg wound up. And if I were awarding wine, I would definitely award wine over that one because I think Greg needs a bottle right now. I would agree with a lot of that, really. And I would also say the same exact thing that you can't presume Sean Clifford is less mobile than Trace McSorley. I think Trace McSorley and Sean Clifford are in the exact same class of athleticism where it's not blow your mind athletic, but plenty enough to run the football effectively and to take those 5 or 10 yards whenever you can get them. And as you said, provide that mix up in the offense that Penn State needs. So I think Sean Clifford will be a really talented pocket passer. That's going to be his preference, but I think he can run. I don't think any changes are necessary either. Nate from Mars, Pennsylvania, not the planet, I presume. Does Michael Johnson Jr. have the wow type of athleticism to challenge for the starting job if he develops this winter and spring as a pocket passer? He showed potential as a pure passer at the Under Armour All-American game.
He only had 2 pass attempts. I mean, I'm not sure if I agree with that. I watched him in practice. I mean, he was okay, but there's some things that they're going to have to correct. Does he have the chance to compete? Sure. They're going to open competition for this job. That's, you know, the way James Franklin and Ricky Ronnie operate their program. So the biggest question in my mind, guys, is what will he or Taquan Roberson or Will Levis get enough snaps to actually legitimately show what they can do and compete for this job? I don't think so. Because if one of those two guys jumps over Sean Clifford or Tommy Stevens that quickly, then everything we thought about those two guys is wrong, clearly. Because, yeah. I mean, it's not like they have nothing against Taquan Roberson or Michael Johnson Jr. I think both can be terrific at the college level. But let's be honest, it's not like they're coming in here as mega 5-star top in the country recruits. So, no, I don't think so. I think you're looking at Tommy and Sean, and then after that, there'll be a pretty spirited battle for the third string job between those guys and Will Levis, and I think that'll be worth watching during spring and summer. But no, I think it's just the two guys at the top, and it starts and ends there.
No, I think that's fair. It's, you know, it's hard to trust, and experience are just hard to bypass. And you better have wow athleticism, but you also better have wow knowledge of the playbook and wow presence on the field if you're going to get past two guys who've been on campus for at least a couple years. So that's not my expectation. He's a developmental guy. I think he does have wow athleticism. I just don't think it factors into the starting job. Let's see. Brian from Austin asked Ross a question. Well, maybe I'll ask.
Well, we'll just, well, yeah, we can do that.
We'll intercept it. Who are most draft eligible and ready players that they decided to return for another season in 2019? So which guys were draft eligible this year that decided to come back and play in 2019?
That's a good question. I mean, I think obviously Steven Gonzalez is a guy that's been dragged through the mud a little bit, but I think if you talk to people, and I'm not the guy to talk to about this, but if you talk to people like Ross, it's actually probably why Ross was asked this question, people that evaluate offensive linemen very well, I think you'll come to find that he gets a better evaluation from people that do it than what he gets from people that just watch the games and assume that he's the weak link. So I think he's the one that can probably help himself the most by coming back, just simply because, you know, he's a guy that will get another year of seasoning under his belt and maybe work his way up draft boards. And the other one's Blake Gillikin. I mean, it seems like he has all the talent in the world, but there's times when it consistently shows itself and there's times when it consistently doesn't. He'll have a chance to be consistent in 2019 to maybe put himself in the running for a pro career as well.
I think you could probably throw Robert Windsor in that group too.
Yeah, for sure.
I think it was a really good development to have him come back, especially with Kevin Givens leaving. He could have a really nice senior year and suddenly have a 2-year resume where he's got a lot of disruptive plays on film, and that could feed into his draft stock then. I think we got time for one more. Let's see. Brian from Miami, different Brian. Should we worry about special teams next year? Most of the players that are transferring played well on special teams, and it didn't go that well. Should we be relieved that new blood is coming on the special teams units, or should we be worried that too many freshmen and redshirt freshmen are going to be utilized?
Well, so I thought the youth – remember the Appalachian State return? I thought that was youth-induced, quite honestly, because there were so many guys sort of playing their first major reps on special teams at the college level in that game, and it burned them, essentially. So I think there's some validity to that point, but at the same time – it's a better question to ask and answer in a couple of weeks once we hear from James Franklin for the first time since the Citrus Bowl. He is going to have to answer questions about Phil Galliano and what they're going to do to fix this special teams problems and how they're going to attack it and so on and so forth. So I think that's a good question, but maybe one that we'll have a better answer to a little bit down the road. I would say you have to be concerned about him at this point. Jake Pinniger was okay, but he wasn't anything to write home about. Blake Gillikin, same story. Obviously, you had a couple flashes in the return game, but not nearly anything as consistent or reliable as you would like it to be, and the same goes with the coverage. So they have a lot to improve here. If I'm a Penn State fan, I would say I'm definitely concerned about that unit, but I would like to hear from James Franklin first about how they're going to go about fixing that before making a final decision.
And make your final decision. Who asked the best question?
The change in the offense, because I think a lot of people want to know the answer to that question, and I got a little passionate about it, but I think it's one that it's not the only question that's been asked, so that's this week's winner if you can find it on the show. Yo,
Brian from Pittsburgh asking about the quarterback position and how it might change the offense. We will be in touch soon, Brian. Thanks for everybody for your questions. Be sure to join us, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Download the Keystone Sports app and ask your Ask Greg question there. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.